That old school bell tells us it's time for the Warren County Radio Bible School. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. In this school, we have been looking at lessons we learned from the book of Genesis, and we've been studying about some great men: Abel, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And we're in a review lesson on this section of this study that was written for the Sunday schools of June the 27th, 1926. And we've come to the reviewing the life of Joseph. Joseph is the one who said to his brethren, "Ye meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." Joseph knew that the envy and hatred of his brethren, their motives, that they were of the very worst sort, and their crimes enormous. But all of this God had overruled for good. The good, as stated, was that by Joseph was to save much people alive. Joseph was a great blessing to Egypt and to other countries and to his own people. But the fact that God overruled the wickedness of his brethren to do this great good did not lessen their crime. God did not need the sin of Joseph's brethren to carry out his purpose. He could have used other ways and means. But he overruled this crime and made the wrath of men to praise him. That is what it means in Psalm 76 and verse 10. "Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee." Even those who try to do evil wind up praising God or showing that God's power and his greatness. God leaves men free to choose and to act for themselves. Yet he overrules their wickedness to his glory and for the good of his people. Joseph said to his brethren, "God sent me before you to preserve you a remnant in the earth and to save you alive by great deliverance." God sent Joseph in that he might overrule the crime of his brethren to bring about this result. In this way, the seed of Abraham became strangers in a strange land. Thus we see the working out of God's purposes through hundreds of years. In Cana, the iniquity of the Amorites was not yet full. Through Joseph, God separated the Israelites from the corrupting influence of the wicked nations of Canaan. He brought them in contact with Egyptian civilization and gave them the discipline that was needed to make them indeed his peculiar people. There was nothing miraculous in Joseph's case except the interpretation of dreams as God had revealed them. Yet, God's hand was in every seemingly common circumstance. What is it to love God? Well, to love God is to obey him. In John 14 and verse 15, Jesus said, "If ye love me, ye will keep my commandments." In John 14 and verse 23, he said, "If a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." In John 15 and verse 10, we read, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love." In John, 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, we read, "Hereby we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and do his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." it is easy for people to say that they love Jesus and that they love God, but if they do not keep God's commandments, they do not love Him. They only think they love Him. We read in John chapter 14 and verse 24, "He that loveth me and keepeth not my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." And so the word that they hear came from the Father. And if you don't love God, then you don't keep His commandments. Or if you don't keep His commandments, you don't love God. What is it to be called according to God's purpose? People are called through the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. And they are called through the gospel by the Lord into His own kingdom and glory, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12. They're called to serve His own purpose in teaching the truth, in building up His church, and in saving souls through Christ. Note, the purpose God served through Abel, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, all these, in obedience to God, worked in self-sacrifice for the accomplishment of God's purpose. Their own personal ends and aims were set aside, and God's work was their one aim. So it is today. All things, prosperity or adversity, friends or foes, health or sickness, life or death, they can work together for good to all who obey God in serving His purpose. It's not that all of these things are good, just like all the things that happened to Joseph were not good, but God worked through all things to bring about His ultimate good of salvation to man. And God still, for the love He has for His people, works through all things for the ultimate spiritual good of those people. Now that brings the Sunday school lesson to a close, but there's a little poem here at the end, and I don't see that it's attributed to any author. Let me read this poem. It is Father's eyesight. Is Father's eyesight growing dim, his form a little lower? His mother's hair a little gray, her step a little slower? Is life's hill growing hard to climb? Make not their pathway steeper. Smooth out the furrows on their brows. Oh, do not make them deeper. There's nothing makes a face so young as joy, youth's fairest token. And nothing makes a face grow old like hearts that have been broken. Take heed lest deeds of thine should make thy mother be a weeper. Stamp peace upon a father's brow. Don't make the wrinkles deeper. In doubtful pathways do not go. Be tempted not to wander. Grieve not the hearts that love you so, but make their love grow fonder. Much have thy parents borne for thee, but now their tender keeper, and let them lean upon thy love. Don't make the wrinkles deeper. Be lavish with the kindly deeds. Be patient, true, and tender, and make the path that ageward leads aglow with earthly splendor. Some day the dear one stricken low must yield to death the reaper, and you will then be glad to know you made no wrinkles deeper. Now I turn the page, and at the opposite page of that poem, there's this little essay on the importance of studying the Old Testament. Some say they regret when lessons are in the Old Testament. This is a serious mistake. The writer indulges the hope that, having studied the lessons of these notes, all will realize with him that it is a great mistake not to study the Old Testament. The following reasons for studying the Old Testament are briefly given. Number one, God would not have preserved it and so connected it with the New Testament if He had not intended for us to study it now. He exhorts us to study it. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, Peter wrote, "This is now, beloved, the second epistle that I write unto you, and in both of them I stir up your sincere mind by putting you in remembrance, that ye should remember the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and the commandment of the Lord and our Savior through your apostles. A second reason to study the Old Testament is because they are sacred writings. The sacred writings which Timothy knew from childhood were the Old Testament scriptures, which made him wise unto salvation, in that they led to faith in Jesus of Nazareth as the Christ of God. 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17. A third reason, Paul and Apollos reasoned from the Old Testament scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. We read about this in Acts 17, in Acts chapter 18. These scriptures testify of Jesus. God said himself in John 5 that these things speak of me. Number four, we cannot understand various references in New Testament to passages, principles, and facts of the Old Testament without studying the Old Testament. A fifth reason why studying the Old Testament is important. Occasionally, some will say that they don't have time to study the Old Testament. If so, they have not time to obey God. Others say they cannot become interested in it. This is because they're not interested in the works of God, His dealing with the nations on earth, the history of His people, His purpose, promises, and prophecies concerning the redemption of the race, and His evidences that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ. And it is because they do not read it enough to understand its characters and history. Now, number six, the Bible is a unit, one historic whole. Genesis opens with the beginning, the creation of all things, and states the cause of all that which follows, while Revelation gives the conclusion, the grand and glorious consummation of all, and a new heaven and a new earth wherein righteousness will dwell forever. Number seven, one cannot understand the New Testament without the Old Testament. The best way and the best time to study the Old Testament are other considerations. It must be studied. To become interested in its study, one should read it regularly and sufficiently to become familiar with its places, characters, histories, facts, and purposes. Consult the maps. Learn what the prophets, kings, and other prominent persons were contemporarily. Read the Old Testament and the New Testament through consecutively, reading some in each every day. While reading the New Testament, look up all the references made to the Old Testament, for in this way, the study of the Old Testament will soon become both interesting and profitable. And above all, David says, one should lay up the word of God in one's heart that one may not sin against him. Psalm 119 and verse 11. And as Paul exhorts, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Colossians 3 and verse 16. Now with that, I look at the opposite page of our Sunday school book. And we have come to the third quarter of that year, the third quarter of lessons, and it's going to continue with studies in the Old Testament. This quarter is going to focus on early leaders of Israel, from Moses to Samuel. Lesson one is about Israel being enslaved in Egypt. It's a Sunday school lesson for the Sunday schools of July the 4th, 1926. The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is Psalm 94 and verse 14. Jehovah will not cast off his people. As I look ahead into this quarter and see some of the things we're going to study, I see that it's Israel enslaved in Egypt, the childhood and education of Moses. We're going to have a lesson on the call of Moses. You remember that at the burning bush and other such things. So stay tuned to these Bible classes.